Blog Talk Radio.
This is Rick Rockhill. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant & Company radio show, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
And a great big hello and welcome. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant & Company radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Rick Rockhill, your host, and thank you for tuning in today. Today's show is all about social media and online marketing. And if you're somebody who is looking to develop your skills in social media, to learn more about online marketing, if you want to hear some tips about developing basic to advanced strategies so you can integrate your marketing, this is the show to listen to. I'm very pleased today. We're going to have a guest, Cheryl Lawson, will be joining us today. And together, we're going to talk about this very broad topic and try to squeeze in as much as we can in this show. We're going to talk about things like the importance of leveraging all the different tools in social media, some myth-busting, and a few other things like that. So be sure to take some notes, because you may find one or two things that you can follow up on your own. Cheryl Lawson is somebody who I've met at a conference. She's someone who has a great reputation. I met her at the Bark World Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, a few weeks ago, and was very impressed with her, and we got to chatting, and I thought, you know, she'd be great to have on the show. So you'll be hearing from Cheryl very soon. For those of you who are still new at social media and learning about it, there's a few things that you should be aware of. This is a topic that you will not master after listening to this program. You won't master it after reading a few websites or even reading a few books. The way you learn and the way you become good at is by doing it. But all that being said is you can jump into anything head first and start doing it, but without a plan, without thinking about the things that you want to do, what you want to accomplish, how you want people to see you, and what your objectives are, you could spend an awful lot of time and get nowhere fast. So not only is it a very broad topic and is it something that has a lot of details to learn, but you have to start with the basics. So that's probably the main tip of the day I would have for you. As you think about what you're going to hear on this show, really take some time, plan some time with a pad and a pencil or on your laptop or wherever you like to work and put your thoughts down. And that will be the very beginning, the start of what it is you want to accomplish. Today's show is one of a series, and I just want to call out that next week, on next week's show, we'll be having a special about driving donations for nonprofit charities through social media. So let your friends know that we'll have a focus on nonprofit organizations, how to combine online and offline marketing through things like blogging and Twitter and Facebook and a whole bunch of other opportunities that are out there for nonprofits to motivate volunteers, to motivate and activate the base and really get a robust campaign out there to drive charitable donations online and offline. So that's next week here on the Palm Springs Savant & Company show. Okay, well, I want to go right to our guest today because we have so much to talk about. And I'm very pleased, as I said, I'm very pleased to welcome Cheryl Lawson to the show today. Cheryl, welcome.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you here today.
Yeah.
Cheryl Lawson is well known in the Twitter community. She is known as @PartyAficionado and also as @SocMediaTulsa, S-O-C-M-E-D-I-A, Tulsa. And also, you're the human voice behind I'm a Jack Russell, also, which is your the better side of you, right, your dog?
Exactly, my better half.
Cheryl also founded SocialMediaTulsa.org. It's a new social media community in her hometown of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Cheryl teaches social marketing at University of California, Riverside, lectures at social media conferences, and is a social marketing coach. But on top of all that, Cheryl is an event planning professional and the creator of the Event Mobile application for smartphones. Cheryl assists companies to develop social marketing strategies, both online and face-to-face. And if all that weren't enough, Cheryl's the author of a children's book series, The Adventures of Precious the Dog. And here we are with Cheryl. So happy to have you here today. So there's your intro, Cheryl.
I'm exhausted just hearing all that. I'm sure some of your listeners probably say, wait a minute, I don't do all that stuff. I think social media has just allowed for people to start, you know, kind of following their dreams and passions. And, you know, we probably, our parents and grandparents worked in one job for 30, 40 years. But I think as a new generation, we all have different interests and different likes and different skills and talents. And these new tools of the web and social networking have just allowed people to follow their passions, how many ever they are, and wherever they may take them. So,
well,
it's an exciting time.
It is. I mean, this really is a cool time to be alive and to be out doing things. And what an exciting age! You know, the age of the internet, they call this. But I mean, our parents and grandparents, and certainly everyone before then, did not have the opportunities for communication and for outreach that we do today. But you touched on something that I thought was a very interesting way to kind of kick things off here, and that's about your passions. You, in particular, Cheryl, one of the things that impresses me a lot is you are really passionate about, you know, a lot of different things, but you've really focused your energies around things that you like to do. So I mentioned that you have a couple different, you know, voices or personalities on Twitter and out there, things that you work on. Can you just explain, you know, your brand, your voices that you speak in? Because I think that's a good setup for people to think about how they want to communicate in their own brand. So you have a couple different personalities, right, online?
Yeah, I do. And it's not something I would recommend for everybody. It just works for me. But when I first started using social networks, it goes way back to MySpace, and for the kids, you'll have to Google what MySpace is.
A little piece of history already.
Exactly. But I started using Party Aficionado as my handle in the social networking. As an event planner, I thought that was kind of, you know, what the name of your company or your name should say what it is that you do. And so I thought Party Aficionado was something really great, and I started using it. As Twitter became prominent in 2008 and 2009, I started using Party Aficionado there. And I decided to, as an event professional, to use it to become the kind of resident expert. I know a lot, have been around a lot of years, have a lot of opinions and thoughts and experiences, some good, some not so good. And I thought that was a good way for me to kind of share knowledge, if you will. One way to tell people, okay, here's some great locations to hold your events, or even just showing them the process that I go through when I'm doing an event. Mm-hmm. Twitter and Facebook and those sort of sites allow me to share the process. So if you're an up-and-coming event professional, you can watch what I do live as it happens and go, oh, I can get an idea about an event that I'd like to have. Or if you're a potential customer, you can say, wow, this girl, Party Aficionado, Cheryl Lawson, really knows how to put an event together. Or I like the way she operates and communicates, and I like that little feature that she added to her event that makes me want to now reach out to her as somebody to plan my events. Back in, I think it was 2009, I started tweeting from my smartphone, and I'll tell you, that really is when I got Twitter. I understand how some people don't really get it, because I didn't get it at first. But when I got the smartphone, I started tweeting live from events or from places and as I experienced things. And I would, of course, tweet while I was on my walks with my dog. Oh, it's a beautiful day, and oh, it's great outside. And then I thought, wait a second, my followers are not going to care, or really they don't really need to see it's a beautiful day every single day. Mm-hmm. So that then led to me starting the account for Precious, a.k.a. I'm a Jack Russell, on Twitter. Since they were her walks, I thought, hey, why not use her voice to tell the story about, you know, what she was chasing and, you know, what she saw and how great the scenery was. Because she's a pretty fortunate dog. She gets to go to a lot of really cool places. So that kind of grew. And what was interesting is I had written the children's books. I think I'd written a couple of them based on my mom saying, that dog should write a book, right, about her experiences. I mean, it's all kind of simple ideas. But I had written the book, but I hadn't done anything with it. They were really cute stories that I could share with my family, but I hadn't illustrated them or had any thought about producing them in any way. Mm-hmm. But when I set up her Twitter account, her bio said, hi, my name is Precious. I'm 5 years old at the time. I wrote a book. Look for it soon.
Mm.
Okay, so now.
And if anyone who's a pet lover can appreciate that, because, you know, we all think about how would my, what's my pet thinking? What's my, you know, what are they saying? If they could talk, what would they say? So you kind of really struck the right chord there.
Exactly. And what was interesting was as I began to share, now the book is entitled The Adventures of Precious the Dog, as you mentioned, so the Twitter account became an extension of her adventures.
Okay.
And since the story in the book are actually things that she encountered, I mean, she is a Jack Russell Terrier, so she's obsessed about lizards and rabbits and squirrels and those kind of things, so that's what her books are about. But what was really fascinating is that, you know, as she grew followers, and I mean other people tweeting as their dogs and cats and ferrets, people started saying, hey, Precious, when's your book coming out? Aha. Okay.
How convenient. That's great.
Aha. Now, I really went into pursuing how do I get this book published. You know, I went to some of the, you know, publish your own book kind of places, and really they were, you know, hey, pay us a lot of money and we'll publish your book and you'll get, you know, 50 cents a copy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And from my experience in marketing, I was a marketing manager for an RV manufacturer in California. My job was producing collateral, brochures, flyers, printed material. So I thought, well, why don't I just approach this children's book as if it were one of those types of projects? And I found, you know, one of the young men who was working on some logo stuff for my event planning firm, the guy who actually created the superhero that I use as Party Aficionado's alter ego, I said, hey, would you like to try your hand at illustrating a children's book? And that kind of just sparked our relationship as, you know, illustrator and self-publisher kind of thing. And in any normal circumstance, that would have been perfect. However, with social media and the fact that I'm now broadcasting this dog all over the interweb, people knew what the dog looked like.
Yep.
So one of our challenges was, if you're writing a children's book about a Jack Russell Terrier, you can find a picture on the internet and illustrate it. The only issue with us is everybody knew what this particular Jack Russell Terrier looked like.
Sure.
So our challenge was, you've got to draw the dog right. So we spent a lot of time going back and forth, and know the spots on this side, and know this side of her face. But what was interesting is I brought her Twitter followers along the process. Talk
really
about, you know, when we got the copyright and how the process worked, and, you know, how many times we had to go back and forth with the illustrator because they didn't get something right. Even shared some preliminary drawings with the audience so that they could see that we were incorporating some of the places that they had even seen in the pictures. So it was really kind of a fun thing to do, and also got a little bit of help from the community. Hey, why don't you try this? Or, hey, have you considered doing that? So it was really kind of a wonderful experience. And to make that story a little shorter than it normally is, the first book sold to one of her Twitter followers in New Zealand.
Wow.
So, you know, this little kind of idea of somebody from, you know, Oklahoma who lived in California now has global reach, right? So things can happen that way.
Well, you know, that's a really excellent example and a great way to start off the show because, you know, when you think, one of the things that people forget, and it's very important, is to do things that you're passionate about so that when you tell the story, it translates and, you know, as we'll talk about today, being authentic and genuine, that only comes through when you're really, when you're talking about things that you really enjoy and mean. People pick that up.
Right.
I think that you've done an excellent job kind of blending and crossing over to have this other voice as well as your own, and you've been able to engage with your followers by talking as your dog and also in as I'm trying to get this book done. And what do you think?
Yeah, what do you think about this? And what about this story? And it was interesting too. Last year, Precious got out and got lost.
Oh boy!
Now her Twitter followers were some of the most supportive people I'd ever run across because, of course, now all of a sudden it wasn't her talking. It was me jumping in as Cheryl Lawson, her human mother, saying, right. Oh, my God, you guys, Precious is lost. We were on the campus at Riverside Community College. You know, this is, you know, and what was interesting, I used Foursquare to send, mm-hmm. This was the location of her last, you know, where
yeah.
I last saw her. And if you see her, can you retweet this? And it just became this big outpouring of support. And, you know, there were some people from a little further away that said, hey, if you don't find her, we'll drive down and help you put up signs. And
yep.
Fortunately, the next day, she was found. And, of course, now it becomes a fun thing to talk about. You know, we panicked for about 24 hours. But
yeah.
Then her followers started saying, hey, Precious, I think you have a story for your next book, you know, Precious
right.
Goes to College kind of thing.
Right.
Right.
It makes her an incredible continued story for you, and really it almost, you know, she provided another whole topic for you to write about. That's great.
Exactly. So, and, you know, and as party aficionado, I try to keep the voices separate.
Yes.
I do, you know, I do talk about, hey, I'm going to, you know, it's time to go work on a project for I'm Jack Russell, but I try not to do a lot of cross-promoting
mm-hmm.
because,
okay.
you know, then you would get the voices really mixed up. I'm already
sure.
a lot of voices. But for Social Media Tulsa, that's something that I just kind of started within the last 3 or 4 months. I made the decision to relocate back to my hometown of Tulsa full-time. While I do spend time teaching at UCR, I have moved my home base to my hometown. And just as an effort to kind of rediscover my city and to connect with other social media enthusiasts there, I started Social Media Tulsa. And it started with Social Media Day, Mashable's activity, Social Media Day. I was like, okay, I can do that.
Sure.
And started a meetup group, and we're kind of growing community, and it's important to me to focus on locations in Tulsa, things that people who live there or who are new to there can come and experience. And we've been to some, you know, historic places. Our first meetup was in a kind of revised district called Greenwood Arts District, and that was our first meetup. We've been to a revised hotel, the Mayo Hotel, that was around years and years and has hosted, you know, presidents and Marilyn Monroe, and of course Elvis Presley has stayed there, so we used a little bit of that trivia to talk about, you know, where we were. And so it's really been an interesting thing, and what has happened with Social Media Tulsa is we've gotten people, not only those who are really experienced bloggers and people using the social networks to connect, but also people who are discovering, I think I need to know more about this, small businesses, company, you know, local retailers who are coming to us to learn. So
sure.
we've become a resource for a lot of the local small businesses and even kind of mid-sized businesses and a nonprofit. So you're going to talk about next week on your show. So,
Well, you, I mean, that's,
if you go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Well, if you follow, like you said, if you follow the things that you're passionate about, I was really passionate about rediscovering my city and connecting people. And showing the importance, right? I'm still an event planner, connecting and showing the importance of the face-to-face connections that you can find using social networking sites. So it's still important to me to draw people into the importance of getting that one-on-one face-to-face connection and showing how social media can be a catalyst to that. I think you hear people say, their customers are not on social media. We talked about myths, right? Oh, my people aren't on social media, or they'll say things like, well, I prefer face-to-face connections.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, like I do, most of the conversations we're having on social networking is when we're going to get together next.
Right.
Right? Are you going to this conference? Are you going to this meetup? So I think that's one of the myths of connecting with people online, is that it replaces face-to-face. And my feeling is that it just strengthens the bond, and it creates opportunities for people to connect who otherwise would never have had an opportunity to meet.
Now, it's interesting. You have, here's an example for those listening of how you've really done this in a very multidimensional fashion. I mean, not only have you been building your business and writing books and other things, but you built a place that people can go to of like minds, and now you're being able to attract businesses and other groups. That's a very advanced, component. If somebody is listening who's thinking about, how do I engage in social media? How do I get involved in this? And they're a little overwhelmed. I mean, let's just start off for a minute with this, that first of all, there's business to business, and there's business to consumer. Or you may not even be a business. You may just be someone who wants to engage. But let's just, you're one of those three. You have to think about what it is you want to accomplish so you can decide on the right way to approach it. I mean, there's an overwhelming array. There's Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn and Twitter and blogs and, it goes on and on and on.
Right.
Flickr even. So you get all that happening. I think what I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that I think people have to stop and say, what is it I want to accomplish? And you had a passion about you moving back to Tulsa. You wanted to engage. You wanted to rediscover. You set that out as a goal, something you kind of wanted to do. If somebody wants to get into this, it's important not to have false expectations or high hopes. Are there any, let's talk about those myth-busters. Are there any things that you think we should kind of caution people before they get into it so they can, be prepared?
Absolutely. When you sent over, that we wanted to talk about some myths, and you said three or four, and I think I got to five and said, okay, let me stop because we only have an hour. But one of the first things that I like to caution people about is the myth that social media is free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's free to set up an account, but there is an investment required, and that investment is your time.
Yes.
It's definitely not something that you can phone in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are tools that exist to make it easier, right? And there's great debate on, scheduled tweets and automated stuff, but we won't get into here. There are some tools to make it easier for you, but the investment is time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would caution people in trying to get on every one of the sites.
Okay, so focus.
Right. Just like any other strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I think another kind of misconception is that this kind of communicating is new. While we like to call it social media marketing, the social networks really weren't designed to be marketing tools.
Yes.
Those, some of us savvy marketers have just kind of figured out how to make it so. But
yes.
At their core, social networks are just that, ways to connect people one to the other. And if you're not prepared to be social, you should probably not engage in any of the social networks. Now, that's not to say that you have to be social using them. That's another myth, that there is some right way to do social media. I think, you know, there are those of us who, I definitely believe that you have to be social and connect and engage with people, but I'm one person, and I can plot out time, and I've got my mobile phone, and I've got wireless just about everywhere I go. But there are other people, like the Guy Kawasaki's of the world, who consider themselves publishers.
Yes.
Right? They're pushing out information. Now, the information that they're pushing out leads to their other business entities, his, you know, all top blogs and the news, top news on his blog. CNN is a publisher. They're not going on replying to every person that mentions CNN, right?
Yeah.
So you really have to create a strategy around what is it that you want this new medium to do for you. If you're passionate about a different project or a charity or something in your community, then decide how you're going to promote that. You can start a blog and talk about it. You can create a fan page on Facebook or a Twitter account so you can talk about the issues in your community or the issues facing a particular disease or political campaign. So it's just a matter of developing a strategy and, like you said, having what is it that you're intent to do?
Yes.
Right? Even if And I am a big proponent of trial and error. There is no right way. If you decide, hey, you know, like my example is, I really wanted to rediscover my city and create a community around people who were enthusiasts. What I found in a very short amount of time was there were a lot of people who needed to learn.
Yes.
So the focus has shifted a bit to make sure that I engage with the local bloggers and people who are using the space and asking them to help spread the message. So
you know,
my focus can still be on making those face-to-face connections,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, now I can bring experts and local kind of champions in to talk about and share and educate the community as we move along.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of connections, my board op told me we have someone on the line who would like to speak to you. So
sure.
Let's just go to the phones for a minute. And hello, welcome to the Palm Springs Savant & Company. Who do we have with us today?
Hello.
How are you there? Hi. Can I be
hello?
Name, yes, hi. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I didn't realize I pressed the button to talk. I was just listening.
Oh, okay, great. Did you have any questions or anything you want to ask Cheryl today or just wanted to say hi?
Well, actually, since you have me on the air, I just started listening to the show about 15 minutes ago, so I don't know if I've missed it, but I have a Twitter account, which I don't really use, and a Facebook page, and I'm wondering what's the best way to – I notice when some people, they update one account, all of them get updated and the message gets sent out to everyone. Is there some type of software I can use to link Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook so that when I post something, it gets posted to all of them?
Do I get that one, Cheryl?
I can, but first I will tell you I'm not a fan of that.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of that. One thing I would suggest to you first is get something like Hootsuite or TweetDeck. Those two programs will allow you to update and add posts to either of your Twitter sites, LinkedIn, Facebook. I prefer that over sending out a tweet and then it goes to Facebook or posting something on Facebook and going to Twitter, just because I think the audiences are different.
Okay.
Just as if you had CNN, TBS, and CNBC, they don't all have the same message. You might cover the same story, but you would post it in a different way that directs to each of those, right? On Twitter, we don't necessarily like to read all of our posts from Facebook. And on LinkedIn, I don't know that you want your tweets going to your professional connections. Right? I know I don't. So
that's a good
you
point.
You can select it, right? But you can selectively, using Hootsuite or TweetDeck or one of those kind of sites, you can selectively choose which tweets, which Facebook posts go to each site. And you can do that kind of ahead of time, and it takes maybe 5 seconds to recode. In addition, each of those sites that you mentioned, Facebook, LinkedIn, all have Twitter clients and Facebook clients. They're all apps, so you can go to the applications on Facebook and search Twitter, and that'll allow you to link your Twitter and your Facebook. And then the same thing with LinkedIn. You can add the Twitter app, and you can choose to send all of your tweets to LinkedIn and Facebook, or you can selectively do that, or vice versa. So you, by adding the tag, either FB or LI or LinkedIn. So, but I would personally suggest that you start using something like Hootsuite or TweetDeck, and think of your audience as different audiences.
That's good advice.
That's my.
Right. Well, thanks for your call. I appreciate you calling in today, and enjoy the show.
Okay. Can I ask one more question?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, let me tell you what I'm trying to do. Maybe that's it'll be more helpful. I'm trying to get more photography clients in my area. I live in Washington, D.C., and although I've done more corporate work, I'm trying to expand more into doing portraits and weddings on the side so that I have income coming from different streams. And so I have a personal Facebook page, and I don't know if you're supposed to do this, but I set up a professional Facebook page, and then I have a fan page for that. And what I'd like to do is to get not random fans and random friends, but people who are who would necessarily benefit from my offer, so that I can send out a tweet or send out a post message on Facebook that for this week only, I'll run a promotion.
Right, so targeting specific people in your area that says, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be at the Botanical Gardens. You want to come by for a test shot, that kind of thing. What I would suggest, and there's a couple ways you can do that, and what I would suggest is you set up your fan page, if you haven't already, as a local service, and make sure you include your zip code and be specific about where your location is. Some of us who are consultants and work all over the place will do business or service, but you can do local business and be really specific about where your zip code is and where you do business. I would also update on your fan page, make sure it has photos and images, and you can do offers and offer discounts to people if they come in, and maybe even take a photo of someone or do a follower of the month kind of thing. Hey, if you like my fan page, I'll pick one local follower this month to get a free headshot, right? Or a discounted one-hour session or something like that. And that way you'll start to attract people, even some of your friends who you may not think are interested in photography will start to say, okay, I need to get that for whatever project they're doing, or they'll recommend you to someone else.
But as far as active finding friends, for my Facebook page, I've gone to local sites. I'm trying to find local sites like Brides or – I'll be honest with you, most of the sites I've been finding are national, and I'm trying to find local pages so that I can become a fan of that service and then friend other people who are and then invite them to my page. But I don't seem to – know how to narrow it down so that I find people who work.
Yeah, in the search engine on Facebook, for example, you can type in the city and then go to search more, and instead of searching people, click on the left-hand side and search pages, and that should help you find other companies and local businesses. You'll probably also find a couple political entities like the city of in other kind of restaurants and those kind of things, and you can find companies that way by using the search tab.
Oh, okay. I didn't think about that.
And then just you'll have to, because the search will automatically bring you people pages and everything, just scroll down on the left-hand side and ask to only see pages in your search parameter.
Great. Great. Well,
that's the strategy. Thank
good
you
luck,
so
good
much.
Luck with your business, and I hope your photography opportunity grows there. It's an exciting way to grow your business, and you know, particularly from a local fashion, go to events that are happening and get involved in the community and do some of that face-to-face so you can have experiences with other people who are either passionate about photography or people who have things happening in their lives, and you know, give a little bit of your work away for free to try and get the word out too. That's
absolutely great. Absolutely.
Great. Well, thanks for your call. I'm going to put you on hold so we can take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Cheryl Lawson.
Hi, I'm Nicolette Sheridan, and I'm here with Dick Van Patten to ask for your support during National Guide Dog Month.
Now, we've teamed up with Petco to raise $1 billion so the people who don't have the gift of sight receive guide dogs.
It takes more than 2 years and over $40,000 to train one single guide dog. So with your donation, we can help guide dog schools train dogs to provide safe mobility, companionship, and the miracle of independence to the blind.
So please, make a donation today when you check out.
Through the gift of a guide dog, together, we can make a difference.
And you can make your donation to National Guide Dog Month right now by going online to petco.com/naturalbalance and make your donation in any amount to help guide dog schools across the country. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here with Cheryl Lawson, who's a social media expert. And Cheryl, just before the break, we were talking about a couple different, you know, Mythbusters and things, and we kind of moved into this idea of your brand and having your online personality and brand clearly defined. You shared with us some of these ideas about storytelling.
Right.
How does that tie in? How important is that when you get into social media, whether you're a business or an individual? How important is storytelling as part of your brand?
Well, I think, you know, sorry about that. I opened my window to get some air, and, of course, the loudest car just decided to come back. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Well, I think in marketing in general, storytelling, that's what we do is we tell stories. We tell you why you should drink Coca-Cola or why, you know, we show images and tell stories about why you should buy a Chevrolet. And that is no different from your personal brand, who you are, what you're about, what you're, again, I go back to that whole passion thing, what you're passionate about. And those things will transcend. If you talk about something that you're interested in, another thing I always tell people, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be you. Right? We all hate hearing our voice on radio, but you got to do a blog talk show, right?
Right.
We all can, you know, can find faults in ourselves on video. But if you're a good storyteller, video might be the avenue that you need to consider, and then just kind of get over the production value until you can get to the point where, yeah, you can buy the more expensive camera and rent out a studio. But it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be you and whatever your story is and whatever. If you're selling a product, I don't want to sound like I don't want you to make money or sell your product. Talk about the benefits of selling your product. If you're the best plumber in town, talk about why you like plumbing and, you know, some of the things that people should look at as seasons go across. Our caller example was a photographer. So while she's really concerned about getting business and expanding, what she could also be sharing with people are some photography tips and how to use their mobile phones to get the best shots and some really good photography tips and how to do good shots or maybe post her test shots and then talk about how lighting works. And, you know, if you become the expert in your field and be helpful and provide content, people will come to you and start asking you questions, and I really want to have a photo shoot with you. We have a couple of photographers that attend the social media Tulsa meetups, and they'll take pictures and post them on our meetup page and tweet links to them on their own pages. And that's how they're exposing their work to our audience, right? So sometimes you do have to kind of get out and do the work, like you said, in face-to-face. But the stories, especially for a photographer, you know, your stories are very visual. the stories that you have.
For that last caller, my board op didn't get her name, and if you're still listening, send us a tweet. You can catch me at Rick Rockhill on Twitter, or you can get Cheryl at Party Aficionado. I would love to hear from you and share more tips with you on Twitter, so feel free to reach out to us.
Absolutely.
I wanted to mention, since you also talked about this in some detail, I wasn't planning on covering this, but a really important driver for search results is how you name things on your site, on Flickr, on your blog. When you have a picture, so often people will just name a photo and they'll say pick one, or just the numbers of your camera assigned it, and
right.
They save it and they load it. Bad. That has nothing to help you with search engine results. Name
right.
your images with what will help, how you want people to find you. So if you are Portland, Oregon photographer, or your Seattle, Washington photographer, picture of Mount whatever, put that in the title. It can be a long sentence name in the image. That will help with search engines.
Absolutely. I tell people search engine optimization, or SEO, is
yep.
like attention deficit disorder, right?
or
OCD. It's like OCD. If you do the same thing over and over and over and over again, you'll see the picture that I sent you says Cheryl Lawson photo. Then also I would add tagging your photos.
Yes.
Whether you're a photographer or not, make sure you add the tags that help your images or your videos or your blog posts show up in those sites or in those searches where people are looking for local photographer. The other thing I would recommend for her too is, to Google photographer in your area and see what comes up, who's on top, what's coming up, and why. What are the search parameters? And one of the things that one of our blogging panels last weekend at Social Media Tulsa talked about is, the questions that your customers are going to ask before they need you.
Yes.
So start using those keywords and those discussion topics to help people find you.
Yes. If you have a blog already or a website, there are some tools out there that you can use to find out how people are finding you, and you get some surprises how people are not, what's not coming up, what you think you're talking about, and what's
right.
working or not. You can either use things like Google Analytics or the StatCounter. I mean, there's a number of free services to find out
Absolutely.
How people are finding you, what they're doing, how long they're spending on their site. Use that information to tweak and to adjust what you're writing, topics, how you name posts, how you name images. You'll be really surprised about some of the things you'll find. I saw a statistic once. Oh, and I forgot what it is now, but it was something to the effect like, just like 8% of people who come to the site, I have it backwards. 80% of the people who visit your site don't know anything about you. They found you
right.
as part of some search on a search engine, and how the words you use to name things are critical. The average Google search is only 4 words long.
Right.
So, you've got to be really sharp and make sure your site has those tags and the names and all those things so that you'll get the
right.
results you want.
I'll give you a really short example of just my situation. There is an actress and stunt woman by the name of Cheryl Lawson.
So
some people have really unique names, and you can Google your name and find you immediately.
Yes.
Well, when you Googled my name, you found her kind of B-list movies.
You mean you're not jumping out of planes on the side also?
That is really not me. So I started using the tagline, Event Specialist Cheryl Lawson. Anytime I wrote a press release or a blog post or in my bios online, I used that tag. So that eventually, and that's another myth, that social media is some sort of quick fix.
Yeah.
Eventually, now in addition to the actress/stuntwoman, you now see my photo and you now get to me. And also, if you search Party Aficionado, you'll get to me as well. But I really had to do a lot of work just to get my name up in the top searches. when you search my name. So if you haven't Googled yourself, that's one thing I would recommend you do.
That's one place to start. You know, one of the things that I think people would love to hear about, especially if you're just kind of beginning in this, is how do you create a strategy for kind of an integrated social marketing program? And there's some I came across something. I wanted to share this with you real quick.
Sure.
It actually came from JeffBullis.com and his site. And he had five things he said to get started. Number one, you have to define your audience. Be very clear on not only who you are, but who you're communicating to. Is it a Gen Y or a Gen X or a baby boomer? And that makes a big difference on the language you use, the types of words, how you name things, all that. That's number one, is define the audience. Number
right.
two, set your goals. Because you need to decide, is this about brand awareness? Is it about generating sales? Is it about getting just emails and Twitter followers, whatever? Decide what your goals are.
Right.
Three, develop your social media marketing strategy, and there's some work around that, you know, what exactly the tactics you're going to use. And the fourth is just kind of going there, decide what the tactics will be. Where does your audience hang out? Are they on Facebook?
Right.
Are there still some people on MySpace? Are they strictly people who go to YouTube? Or is it strictly a highly professional thing where they're all on LinkedIn? I mean, that's important, is what the tactic is going to be. And the fifth,
absolutely,
he says, is, you know, how do you optimize it and integrate across multiple channels? So you decide, do you have your blog that has to link to other things so it'll all kind of go back to it, to each other or to a main point? His advice, I mean, it's kind of high level there, but he's really saying decide before you jump in what you're trying to accomplish and how you want to approach it. Anything you'd add to that, Cheryl?
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, social media is about enabling the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want people talking about you as the latest hot new photographer or, oh, my God, did you see this kind of viral video from, you know, the campus, it's about enabling the conversation and losing control, right? You can't control the conversation, but you can influence the conversation, what people say about you, what people know about you, like you said earlier about, you know, people go to your site and they don't know anything about you. Social media allows you to educate and inform. And I use the textbook for my class, and I would, there's several books out there, and I don't want to alienate anybody, but the textbook that I use for my social media marketing class at UCR is Lon Safko's The Social Media Bible.
Mm.
And one of the things that he says about strategy is, you know, mastering the four pillars, communication, collaboration, education, and entertainment. And I think you can either choose which one of those things you're going to master, or you can do like some of us who attempt at doing all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, if you can follow those four pillars, what am I communicating? Have I used the tools to collaborate in any way? Have I used the audience to ask me or help me make decisions? All right, kind of the example that I gave with the children's book. Are you being educational? How are you informing your audience? What kind of content are you providing that will help people do what they are doing and make their lives easier? And while entertainment can be risky and challenging for some people, I think you have to have a sense of humor and provide that little bit of an edge as part of your strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hadn't planned on covering this here, but you kind of led me to something here, and there's probably more than I can cover with you here, but there's probably some golden rules of social media and any online transactions of this nature. A couple on top of my head is being transparent, disclosing who you are. If you're speaking in your voice about something, if you're going to go online and do something, you need to say who you are. And it may not literally be exactly who you are and where you live, but you need to identify yourself as being associated with your organization. So if you're going to go onto another site and comment on something, if it's relevant, you should be saying, I'm Rick Rockhill, and I'm, you know, I work for this company, or this is what I do, and here's my blog, or here's my company. I think people, because if you hide that and they bust you, somebody says, "Hey, aren't you so and so?" Then you're nailed. Is that being transparent important? Would you agree?
I think it's important, and I think that term has been used a lot, and it gets confusing. And I think it just means be yourself and make sure that you're not representing yourself as, you know, someone else or something else. You know, there are people who tweet behind a logo, right? And that's okay.
Right.
But
sure.
I would prefer, like you said, that you tell me, okay, if you're tweeting as a business, who's behind the tweets, right? Who are the people behind it? But as authentic as you can be with your personality, but to your point, if I'm making a comment on a blog post, you know, the anonymous blog post that, you know, is obviously one of your competitors is annoying.
Right. And it's cowardly to be anonymous.
Exactly. So, you know, if you're going to do that practice, be who you are. And, controversy begets conversation. I don't think anybody should shy away from controversy or competition. And because, you know, that's what makes you stand out in the world. So you don't have to like everything I say. So, but do, like you said, be upfront about it, who you are and why you object to what I'm saying, right?
Absolutely. If you have a site and you're pushing information out, it's important to be, the golden rule I have is just to be relevant and don't put useless information out there. If you're specifically trying to drive or attract people to drive traffic on a topic, write topics that are relevant to the search result you want. Write about what it is you're trying to accomplish and give your readers value. So if you're just writing useless information that's not going to help someone, they're going to think, why did I bother going to that site? That didn't help me. I think that's a very important piece for people to think about as they get into social is whether you're making a YouTube video, a post on your blog, or you're tweeting, if you have a goal, unless it's just purely just for the heck of it, if you really have an objective, keep your content focused.
Right. And I will say, because I'm not a very focused person, as relevant and as evident in my introduction, I try to focus on things at a time. I think what I tell my students is, especially about Twitter, you know, if you're going to tweet about what you had for dinner and, you know, what time you take a nap, then that's probably what you're going to get back.
Yeah.
If you occasionally talk about how great your meal is and how wonderful the service is, that's okay. I want to know that you're a real person and that you're not all just business. And I do want to see that you're silly or crazy or fun, especially if I'm going to do business with you. And one of the things I think people, when they ask me, you know, what is it that you, what kind of customer are you looking for based on your use of social media? And my answer is, I want to do business with people who already dig me.
Mm.
All right? Because I'm showing you who I am as a person, as a professional, as a, you know, a dog owner, as a traveler, you're developing some sort of relationship with me, whether you're communicating with me or not.
Yeah.
Right? You have an opinion about me based on that, right? And if you don't like me, you're probably already unfollowing me. So the benefit of being yourself and being your authentic self, as you mentioned, is that you get to find customers, clients, connections who already dig you.
Yeah.
And wouldn't that be a great customer base to have?
Well, yeah, because you don't have to be too sales pitchy. You know, you can let the community tell you how great you are, how great your product is. You know, your wedding photography was fantastic. Your event you planned was great or whatever. It's even more powerful if you don't have to talk about yourself, but your followers and fans
Absolutely.
And clients do. That's the
Absolutely.
Real power. When they know you well enough or like you well enough that they want to go tell other people, then you've – I wouldn't say you've mastered social media, but you're really into it. You got it going.
Yeah, and, you know, it does take time. Again, that myth that it's something that, you know, I always tell people you either have time or you have money. If you have both, then you have, the makings of a really great social media campaign. But if you have one or the other, then it will take time, and you do have to invest. And, again, trial and error, if you decide I'm going to do a YouTube show, and then all of a sudden you figure you don't have the time to invest in it, definitely change course. Tell people, hey, you know what, we're going to stop doing this and we'll start doing something else. Be honest if something has has become overwhelming to you, or if you've decided to abandon the strategy. I don't think you have to just be somewhere just because everybody else is. I do think there are some reasons to be there, but if you can't manage it in the way that will help you be connected to your clients and your customers and your fan base, if you will, then there's really no reason to be there. I saw something that Scott Stratton, who tweets us on marketing, and his new book is out. I highly recommend that too. But he said if it takes you longer to respond to a tweet than it would have to send a traditional letter in the mail, you're probably doing it wrong.
I think for we have a couple minutes left in the show today. Gosh, this time flew by. For people who are just getting started and they want to know kind of how to get into it and get serious, particularly with Twitter, I recommend that Twitter is perfect for listening. It's the kind of thing, go find out, do your research. There's things you can do to find out what people are saying, how they're saying it before you get in there. There's the search section on Twitter that you can go, and you can follow different tweets, isn't that right, if you want to go kind of see what's happening, what others are saying?
Absolutely. On Twitter, there's a really good exercise that I use for my class, and it's following hashtags. And for the new folks on Twitter, it's when you see the pound sign in front of a word. So if I were you and that was just me starting out, I would do a tweet like, I am interested in, put the pound sign and whatever that word is. It helps if it's a one-word topic. Let's say I am interested in marketing. So you would put pound marketing. Once you send that tweet, that marketing link now is a live link. Click on it, and you'll see everybody who is currently talking about, tweeting about, sharing information about marketing. Now, it doesn't have to be something as simple as marketing. It could be, you know, Oktoberfest in Munich, and you'll find everybody who's talking about Oktoberfest. You know, if you're interested in, like the young lady was in BC, if you're interested in, I'm interested in photography, put the pound sign in front of the word photography and see who is all talking about photography at this very moment. You can follow that. You can save that search in either of the Hootsuite or TweetDeck, or you can save the search dynamic on Twitter.com and just follow the people who are discussing. And that's how you can kind of listen first, if you will, and then start to provide your own content to that discussion.
Yes. There's a lot out there, and I think what people, if you're getting into this or if you've just been having some moderate success so far, I think my advice, you know, to listeners would be to be sure to listen, have your plan, and do some trial and error. Don't be afraid to test. Find other people like you and see what they're doing or join with them. There are some resources out there. I'm not sure what you have, if there's any you'd recommend, but I think Mashable.com is an excellent one. Also the WOMA.org, WOMMA.org, that's the Word of Mouth Marketing Association, probably more geared toward businesses, but it is a nonprofit organization, and that's another option for you. But you can also check out, if you have a business you want to promote or a product, BZZAgent.com. Those are just a couple of resources that I know of online that you could go before you wrap up. Anything you'd like to add to that, Cheryl, with resources?
I think if, you know, you find the people who are talking about the topic that you're talking about, Mashable is a great one. I love following Gary Vee. Even, you know, I like wine, but I love his passion about what he does. I like to find other people who are passionate about what they're doing. Of course, you can follow Party Aficionado and Rick Rockhill.
Absolutely.
to get information and ask questions. And, I feel free to send me a question on Twitter. I will respond live or close to live unless I'm out with Emma Jack Russell.
Well, great. Cheryl, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. I really appreciate your time. You can reach Cheryl at Party Aficionado on Twitter, or you can follow at Emma Jack Russell. And thanks again for being here today. I'm Rick Rockhill. You've been listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show. You can find more information on my blog at rickrockhill.blogspot.com. Join us again next time. Next week is our special around social media and nonprofit organizations and driving donations. So please tune in next time. Thanks again, and have a...
This is Rick Rockhill. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show, right here on Blog Talk Radio.